Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back for another episode of Last Christian. We're having a great time today because we're going to talk about the Tree of Life. Hey, JD, have you heard about the Tree of Life?
Yes, sir, I have. And we've touched on it before, but we're going to get into detail today. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so are most people have heard about the Tree of Life. It's like everywhere. But really, you know, a lot of times when something is pretty prolific, most people don't know like what it means, you know? So we like to get into that. And then things get out of hand sometimes, like cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yeah,
it's nowhere in the Bible. Okay? And right. Thank God it isn't.
Right.
So that's that. But we're going to pray. Could you pray us into our show? Because we're talking about something like really powerful.
Oh, absolutely. Father, we come to you and we ask, please, for your guidance, your instruction in giving David the words to say and me the questions to ask. We're looking for that last Christian, Father, for you. We know that you know who that individual is, but we don't. And we're hoping that this will reach that one individual to where we can experience the rapture together. And Father, please help us, guide us through this teaching. And it is of much importance, and your word never comes back void. We look forward to this discussion today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree. So there's a couple things about the Tree of Life that I really want to get into. And that is when we see it again in the end of Revelation, I have some questions. And yeah, it goes in my book.
I'm going to stop you right off the top because I didn't realize.
We have another question.
Yeah, because I didn't realize until I guess we started the study that the Tree of Life popped up again. You know, I mean, I'm aware of it in Genesis, but I was not aware of it in Revelation until we began the study. So for those of you that are in that same boat, you're going to find this extremely interesting. And by the way, I also want to mention really, really quick that I've got David's notes over here on another computer, so if you see me looking away, I'm not disinterested. I'm actually reading his notes, okay? So go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Or both. that's going to tie together, actually, the whole reason it is in Revelation, because, you know, basically, what's Revelation?
Yeah.
It's kind of the end of everything.
The great
right?
reveal is what it is. And that's okay.
Yeah. You know what's going to be fun is we should do a show on 666.
Oh, yes, we've got to do that, even though people are going to be asking us to name the Antichrist.
Yeah, well, it's Bill. Yeah. I named him.
It's not mine.
It isn't anyone you're aware of. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
But there's lots of things about the Antichrist that people just don't get. That's pretty interesting. You know, we're going to talk about the Tree of Life today, but just as a side note, people, you know, we're aware of the rapture, but people kind of screwed it up, which now that's why you have all these people, you know, on both sides of the rapture issue. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, the whole left behind thought process, that's not the way it happens. So, but we see that with the Tree of Life. We see that with the 666. It's not the standard way that people think it is. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about when you talk about stuff like this. Because it's so prevalent, what happens is all the different people talk about it. And then some people, for some reason, just make up nonsense. And all of a sudden, it's doctrine.
Yeah.
You know, Darby invented the rapture. Well, no, he didn't. Okay. And it's Margaret MacDonald, you know, and then they come up. No, did you read Margaret's thing? No, Margaret was a nut job to begin with, but she had nothing to do with a pre-tribulation rapture. Go read what she wrote. But there was some, who's that guy? Oh, the Amazing Wonders or something like that. I think he's an SDA, Seventh-day Adventist guy, but he's got so many things that are whacked out, and that's just one of them. And they'll come up with, you got a secret rapture. Trust me, it's not going to be a secret.
No, it's going to be pretty noisy.
So, but that's where we are. We're going to look at some of the things that are out there, but basically just, you know, stick to the word and you know, we'll run with that and you'll see what it is. And then the things that I'm going to point out are in the word, but you really have to look at them correctly. A lot of times people don't look at what the word is saying, mm-hmm. and they'll look at maybe just the English translation of it. So they'll miss some things that are lost in translation, right. or they just don't even read it. One example would be, it says, when John, he's like, I was on the Isle of Patmos and I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I can't tell you how many people say, oh, look, that's, he was on a Sunday, you know, talking. <it's> like, no, the entire book is about the end of the age
right.
and the tribulation period, which is close. The day of the Lord.
It wasn't even yeah. close. Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you get in an argument with them because, yeah. and but it's the same people there, like that will talk about the sons of Seth theory, mm-hmm. like the sons of God saw the daughters of men. It's like, no, that means the sons of Cain and the daughters of Seth or something like that. Yeah. And it's like, where does it say that? It doesn't say that anywhere.
Well,
it's just something they were.
I mentioned this to you before we went on, but I think it's important to say it now. And that is, you know, we do read all the comments, guys, from, you know, whether mm-hmm. or not you post on YouTube or Rumble or one of the podcast areas, or even some of the radio stations may send us a question every now and then. And, you know, the rambling that we got on one of our videos was kind of crazy. One of them said that the serpent was Eve's sister. To my knowledge, God didn't create a sister for Eve. She's kind of like nope. the mother of mankind. So, you know,
yeah, she's the mother of all living.
Yeah, that shows me that this guy had no clue what was going on.
It's his sister.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe. Another one said, you know, the New Testament is not good. You know, it's not gospel. Mm. And my comment back to them was, well, you obviously have not accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior yet. And we pray you do, because, you mm-hmm. know, that's the New Testament is all about Jesus Christ. So, you know, if you don't believe in that, then you don't believe in Jesus. And so you got your stamp for hell if you don't. If you don't start reading the New Testament and figure it out, much. You know, and there were some others, David, some other crazy comments, but you know, I try to be as nice as I can when I talk to these people.
Oh, good for you. You know? I have an issue with that. I've been commissioned to be nicer though.
Oh, so love it.
I'm going to go ahead and be nice to the best of my ability. Okay. Well, pray for your salvation.
There you go.
But the Bible says you're a fool.
Right.
So what am I going to do with that? Mm. All right. So let's get into the tree
let's
of life.
Let's get back to the tree. Yeah, okay.
Everybody. Yeah. All right. So where is the tree of life?
I have no idea now. Is it still where it was? And just guarded or what?
It depends on your perspective here, but let's read what it says. First of all, we find it's in the Garden of Eden, right?
Right, yeah. I was just curious as to whether or not it went back up into heaven and be replanted later, you know, or what. I'm not clear on any of this stuff. Obviously, you figured that out pretty fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically it says there, you know, Lord command of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, and the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. There's mm-hmm. your contract, terms and conditions, right? That's mm-hmm. in Genesis 2:17. That's it. Boom. There's mm-hmm. the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is like, why did he put that there? So we'll get into that a little bit today, too. Why is the tree of knowledge mm-hmm. of good and evil even there? But it was right next to the tree of life. And that's the one we're really talking about today.
Right.
And so if we look down in chapter 3, because that's where we really are, they heard the voice of the Lord in verse 8, walking in the garden, the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So there's more trees there. Folks, mm-hmm. there's a lot of trees going on here. Mm-hmm. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he says, who told you was naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you should not eat? And the man said to the woman who gave it with me, she gave it to me, and I ate it. And the woman said, serpent gave it to me, and I ate it. But he beguiled me. All right, which is all true. We say, hey, they're pointing blame, but honestly, they're just telling the truth. Hey, this is what happened. So I will put enmity and multiply thy sorrows. And Adam says, because you hearken to the voice of the Lord thy, the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Okay, thorns and thistles, the sweat of your brow. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. If she's the mother of all living, then she doesn't have a sister.
Correct. That one's easy.
Yep, that was easy. Okay, solved. All right, so here we are in 23. Just wanted to lay some groundwork for people who haven't read Genesis yet. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken. Okay? So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Okay, well, what is this tree of life? Why has he got a flaming sword in front of it? And what do we do with all this?
Okay, well, now the tree of life, the tree of life is like eternal life, which is the reason that they couldn't eat of it after the original sin, because they would have been in that never, never land, basically, forever and ever and ever, right?
Yeah, and that's what we really want to get into. It's a blaze. The word, it says a flaming sword, and it's basically, it's a cutting object. It can be translated, used as a sword, but it could be like a machete. It could be something. Something that is going to cut, okay? It's also from the word drought, which is weird. It's kind of weird, right? What do you mean, what, drought? What do you mean? Sword, knife, a cutting tool. The word frequently pictures a sword with a long bow and shield as a standard fighting equipment. Warriors are referred to as drawing the sword. So, and it stands for, if we say, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword, it's like a euphemism for the power that it has as well. So it could stand for a larger unit of military power. Oh, he's coming down with the sword on me, you know, and coming down like the people on land. He's bringing down his sword. Like the word of God itself is a two-edged sword. You see?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm going. It's,
well, it more says flaming sword. So
it does.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure you're going
to. So, yeah, so the sword is, while I believe it's a real cutting instrument, may not be metal, but still a cutting instrument, but it's also analogous of a bigger picture. Okay. This is like the word of God, because the word of God is, you know, the flaming sword that comes out of Jesus' mouth.
Right.
So is that the flaming sword that's keeping us from the tree of life right now?
That's
the word of God.
That's interesting. Yeah. I had never considered that.
Right. So it's wow. This word of God is protecting us from entering the tree of life. We're going to get that into a second. Until such a time as when, and we're going to get into that as well.
Okay.
Now the flaming is here. That's, where'd it go? It's moving around on me. It's not a cherub. There it is. Okay. It's to blaze, from the idea of enwrapping or magic as covert. All right. So it gives, yeah. It can be used as a flame, because a flame is a fire like that. So it does, a flaming sword could be that too. But if we start to read the book of Enoch, he talks about walls of flaming fire and light. And that could literally also mean plasma, which is like when you're outside, you got a solid, a liquid, a gas, and then plasma, which is the next state of matter. So it's a higher energy.
I just wonder, David, another one of them things that pops in my mind, right? I'm just mm-hmm. wondering whether or not the thing is always visible. You know, I mean, if let's say that you travel over there, you have an idea where the ornate may have been or whatever, but you can't really get to it, but you can see it from above or something. There wouldn't be any reason for this thing to be working or nothing else. But if somebody was actually walking up to it, then maybe they walk into a plasma thing, or, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, but maybe you get what I'm saying.
I do. I'm going to step off the little weird bridge here for a second too. Okay. I think it might, like, the we see they're trying to open portals to other dimensions around the world with the, you know, hydron colliders like CERN and whatnot. Okay. So if they're spending billions of dollars on this stuff, and they're getting, you know, and they got Shiva over there doing the weird dances and everything, obviously this is points right back to the fallen watchers who came down on Mount Hermon, and they're trying to get back into that dimension themselves. So then that would lead me to believe, okay, maybe there's some kind of a portal that's guarding the Garden of Eden.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Okay. And here now we have this plasma. Okay. And it stems from maybe the word of God. Maybe that's what the sword is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the word of God is saying, hey, don't do this, don't do that. And it's keeping you from entering that dimension. Hey, don't play with witchcraft. Don't do this, don't do that. I mean, it's all over the Bible. Don't necromancy, none of that stuff.
Right.
It says, because this is all leading into the next portal. So it's not that God says, hey, I don't want you over here. But what he's saying is, if you enter that portal, the next dimension, the dimension of eternity outside of our time-space continuum, in your sinful state, you are stuck in eternity in your sinful state, and you can never be redeemed.
I'm not going to go looking for it.
In his mercy, he blocked us from the tree of life. Because until such a time where he can come down and remedy the situation that's known as sin, because we ate of the tree of life, and in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's part of the contract. He has to come back and remedy the contract. All right. He has to pay for that. He loves us to say, okay, look, let me put up the block. Portal's closed. Okay, you can't enter that dimension anymore. All right, I'm going to have to pop in to this time-space continuum, become a man, pay for your sins for you, okay, so you can then come back with me to this next dimension, all right, which is eternity, and then he's going to connect, because heaven and earth back together again. That's what he talks about, okay? He if we read the first sentence, it, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it was, you know, was formless and void. Okay. If you read that with the Hebrew letters, remember we did that early on? It says, it's literally says by the words, he, the Son of God will be destroyed by the work of his own hands on a cross in the first letters. And then the whole sentence, there's seven words in that sentence. And it said, he will, this, the Son of God comes forth to reconnect heaven and earth. So when you read that sentence, oh, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the Hebrew, it's much bigger. He created the heavens and earth, and he will return to reunite heaven and earth. And that's what Jesus had to do to pay off our contract, so again he can bring us and eat of the tree of life again. And the tree of life, let's go there now, is basically symbolizes the eternal realm where there's eternal sustenance. I mean, it's the tree of life. You can eat of it, and you know, there's all these fruits and everything else. We'll get into that in a minute too.
Yeah, it says here, the sustaining power of God. I like that wording. That God alone creates eternal life. Nobody else can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he is the eternal being.
Right.
So he is eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, infinity plus infinity plus infinity equals infinity.
Right.
That's why the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, mm-hmm. because they're all infinity.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, I don't know. I think I might have asked this question when we were doing that original study, but again, somewhere in the Bible, I wish I could remember to look it up. But somewhere in the Bible, it seems like it says that no one has seen God and lived. And then you go back to Genesis and you hear the conversations going on between Adam and Eve and God. And my reading of the Bible, and maybe I'm wrong, but my reading of the Bible is that's Jesus, not the Father, but the Son. If it equates to the Bible later on that says nobody's seen God and lived. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, you really can't read into it either. Obviously, he's talking about after the fall.
Yeah. You know? Okay.
And even with Moses, he had to cover him and he had looked at his back and he still glowed in the dark.
Right. I remember that study very well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that's seeing the full glory of God. And people, you know, they need to realize. And then they go, "Oh, well, that means Jesus wasn't God." No, Jesus became a man.
Right.
All right. You did. Mm-hmm. We did not see Jesus as God while he was here. We saw him walking as the perfect man.
Right.
Yeah, like we talked about that in the last show. Mm-hmm. Even his brothers didn't even recognize him. Because if he glowed in the dark and did all the wonderful things that God does,
then he would have been DQ'd.
He would have violated the terms and conditions. And it's like, well, okay, well, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So he had to become a man, but he was still the person, or no, not the person, because that's an actor, the entity of God, person means actor. That's why I'm trying not to use that word. Mm-hmm. But he is God Almighty in mm-hmm. the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah. But so pastor always said 100% man, 100% God.
Right. When he walked on earth, he walked as a man mm-hmm. to show that we can do it. And then when he rose from the dead, that's what our bodies are going to look like, because it's going to mm-hmm. be the same. He walked through walls, you know, he mm-hmm. ate. And I don't know about the fish so much. I mean, steak I can go with. But
man, your steak, your taste may completely change, David.
Yeah, it's probably right. Yeah.
Just a guess.
The grapes will be bigger, that's for sure. Mm. So back to the tree of life. Now we have these guards that are blocking the portal, so we can't get to the eternal realm in our sinful state until Jesus comes down and we have them play all of this out. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll get into Revelation in the second half. Let's touch on, well, why were these two trees even next to each other? In the garden, you got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mm-hmm. and then you got the tree of life. And were they eating of the tree of life the whole time? I would say so.
You think so?
Right.
I think I asked that question too in a previous show, and you said that. And I still don't understand how that would happen. How does that happen? If you eat of the tree of life, that's eternity, right?
Well, yeah, they're in the eternal realm. So, I mean, just stands to reason. They were in the garden and they were walking with God. It just stands to reason, but it really doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
But let's quickly talk about Enoch.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If we look at first Enoch and his chapters 24 and 25, it's like a big vision. Basically, it's the it talks about a tree of life with great beauty and fragrance, situated in a holy place near God. So, and then Second Esdras. Remember Second Esdras?
No.
Okay. Ezra wrote another book too. So, a second, and then I think it goes even to fourth. Let me pull up the microphone. I should have had Enoch up.
Yeah, I see it.
All right. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So it says, I went from there to another place in a mountain range where a fire which burnt day and night. Okay, so Enoch's talking about where he went in chapter 24 of the R.H. Charles version. And I went beyond it, and I saw seven magnificent mountains, all differing each from the other. And the stones thereof were magnificent and beautiful as a whole, and glorious appearance of fair exterior, three towards the east, one founded on the other, three towards the south, one upon the other, through deep ravines, no one of which joined with any other. And the seventh mountain was in the midst of these and excelled them in height, resembling the seat of a throne. So that's interesting. So we got these mountains, right? Hey, you know what the word pyramid means?
Not really, no.
Stones of fire. Oh. So that's interesting when we read Enoch. Okay, that's literally pyra, like pyro, you know? Pyramid, it's stones of fire. And the seventh mountain was in the midst of these, excelled them all in height, resembling the seat of a throne, and fragrant trees encircled the throne. Ooh, now we're getting a night vision. And amongst them was a tree as I had never yet smelt. Neither was there any amongst them, nor were others like it. It had a fragrance beyond all fragrance, and its leaves and blooms and wood wither not forever. And its fruit is beautiful, and its fruit resembles the dates of a palm. Then I said, how beautiful is this tree and fragrant, and its leaves are fair, and its blooms very delightful in appearance. Then answered Michael, one of the holy and honored angels who was with me and was their leader. And he said, Enoch, why dost thou ask me regarding the fragrance of this tree, and why do you wish to learn the truth? Well, we wish to learn the truth, too. So you're going to have to hold on to that question until the second half.
In the meantime,
you're going to love that. What did he say to Enoch? Wow, that's going to be good. But in the meantime, if the Lord raptures us before the second half, then you're going to have to receive the Lord now. So we would encourage you. There was that contract. That's why he blocked us out of eternity for now, so he can come and save you and give you time to receive him. So we encourage you to receive him before the second half, and we'll see you in a couple minutes.
We'll be right back.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
God is at work in your life. The problem is that we are too distracted by temporary things to see the big picture of what God is doing both in our life and in the world around us. God has called each of us to follow Him. What does that look like, and how do I do it well? We answer that question in our daily choices. My name is Norman Smith, and Run With Horses is a show dedicated to helping you thrive as a follower of Jesus. It is my goal to follow Jesus and pursue His work in my life with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're like me, you know that the journey isn't easy, and we do it better together. Join me on Revelation Radio for an hour of conversation and encouragement to keep on when times are tough. You can find Run With Horses on Revelation Radio at our new time each Saturday night from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. beginning November 4th. Keep running.
Well, JD, it looks like we made it back. I guess the rapture is tomorrow.
Well, it could be 1 second from now. We don't know.
It could be. Mm-hmm. I hope so. Because he says, you know, blessed are those who love his appearing. And imagine this. You're waiting for your bridegroom, and then you're like, nah, he won't be back. No.
Mm-hmm.
You're the bride of Christ, all right? You should be looking out the window. You know, yeah. It's my whole life I'm always looking out the window. Yeah, I'm looking for the headlights coming down the street. Is that them? You know, who is it? Who's coming up the driveway? Okay, always looking. The story of my life, looking out for what's coming next.
Me too.
So, well, we wanted to get back into Enoch. We heard about what Michael was telling him because he's having this vision and he's on these great big mountains and there's a giant mountain in the middle and there's this really terrifically smelling tree. Okay. And then Enoch says, what is this? How beautiful is this tree? And then Michael says, and he said unto me, Enoch, why dost thou ask me regarding the fragrance of the tree? And why dost thou wish to learn the truth? JD, that's what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We want to learn the truth.
Amen.
Okay. And we're searching out these things and we look into the word and we want to see, okay, take me up, you know, show me this vision, reveal this to me, Lord. Mm-hmm. And for those who would say, oh, you know, Jesus isn't coming back. And you know, the rapture is a fake doctrine and all this other stuff. I would propose to you that you're not looking for the truth. And let's look at what happened to Enoch. He was searching so much for the truth that Enoch got raptured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God took him.
He 365 years old. He was seeking the Lord all that time. They all lived to 900 and change back then. Mm-hmm. So here's Enoch, and the Lord's like, okay, you love me that much? Come on up here. Mm-hmm. And he was a type and a pattern for the rapture of the church. And then Noah is a type and pattern for Israel, mm-hmm, being protected through the devastation.
Right.
Okay. So Enoch was taken up before the devastation, and Noah's protected through. Even Adam knew that.
David, I got another question for you. Okay. Now, Enoch is not a book in the Bible. I'm just saying that to where people out there don't start looking for it. Okay. But it is, mm-hmm, a good reference, and I think it's fairly accurate. But here's the deal. In Enoch, it says that the tree of life is situated in a holy place near God's throne.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, here they're walking in the midst of the garden, and who were they walking with?
Well, yeah, that's that.
They
was
would
my
walk
question.
With the Lord in the midst, okay, of the,
yeah,
garden, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, if they're walking in the midst of the garden with the Lord, the trees are in the midst of the garden. Hello? So the tree is next to the Lord's throne.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
What Enoch is seeing. He's given his vision.
Okay. Okay.
So there they are, all in the middle of the garden.
Okay. All right.
And
you know me, yeah, I got crazy questions.
That's pretty cool.
If it hits here, it comes out here. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to see that again when we get into Revelation. We're going to see that it's like your first question was, is it still there? And mm-hmm, yeah, we're just being blocked from that portal right now.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Cause he's going to bring it back. So check this out. Then I answered him, saying, Enoch answered Michael. Mm-hmm. Then I answered him saying, I wish to know about everything, but especially about this tree. Mm. It sounds like me. I want to know everything.
Yeah, me too.
And I want to know it now.
Right now.
Right now. And he answered, saying, this high mountain which thou hast seen, whose summit is like the throne of God, is his throne, where the holy great one, the Lord of glory, the eternal king, will sit when he shall come down to visit the earth with goodness. Mm. See? Mm-hmm. So that's where it is. That's where he was. He left, fixed everything. This is where he's going to come back.
Okay.
And as for this fragrant tree, no mortal is permitted to touch it till the great judgment.
Mm-hmm.
See, now we're getting the picture put back together. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can't touch it until the judgment. Mm-hmm. Well, why is that? Because he has to judge the sin so you don't go into eternity with your sin.
Right.
So no one is permitted to touch it until the great judgment, when he shall take vengeance on all and bring everything to its consummation forever. Mm-hmm. And it shall be given to the righteous and holy. Mm-hmm. Its fruit shall be food to the elect, and it shall be transplanted to the holy place, to the temple of the Lord, the eternal King. Then they shall they rejoice with joy and be glad. And into the holy place shall they enter, and its fragrance shall be in their bones. And they shall live a long life on earth, such as thy fathers lived. And in their days shall no sorrow or plague or torment or calamity touch them. Then I bless the God of glory, the eternal King, who hath prepared such things for the righteous, and hath created them and promised to give to them. Amazing, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's it also answered so now we have
questions and all that, too. It really did.
Yeah. So here it is. It's in the midst of the garden. It's next to the throne. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're not permitted to touch it. This is where we get a bigger picture. You know, the Lord showed me that one day. It's an eternal realm, which is why he blocked us from it with the sword. Mm-hmm. And now he's shown us, well, the sword, two-edged sword is the word of God. So here's the word of God protecting us from entering these portals into eternity until the judgment can come down. And he takes his vengeance out on everything. And just like Colossians chapter 2, he says, you know, he blotted out all our ordinances against us. He blotted out all of our transgressions. Mm-hmm. And then he paraded the principalities and powers around. He paraded them around. Just like a king comes into town, when he defeats the king next door, he puts him naked on a horse and traipses him all over the town and says, look what I did to this guy. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did to all these fallen angels. Mm-hmm. Okay. And once we recognize that as believers, we have power and authority because they're just being traipsed around naked all through the town with their hands tied.
Right.
You know, and these people are afraid of them and they're out fighting demons and they're doing all this other stuff. You don't have to fight them. Just take them to court and say, oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. This says you got no jurisdiction here. Mm-hmm. And you just walk in the power and authority of the Lord. And then when he comes back, we're going to eat of the tree of life. So where is the rest of the tree of life?
I bet that'll be good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so that's what I wanted to tell you the one time. Yeah, when we get there, let's read Revelation, actually.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Let's work our way over. Let's do Proverbs 3:18. And then we'll head over there.
Okay, hold on. Let me get over there with you.
And it's 3:18 is the crux of it. Now, let me see. Let's start at 13, and it's Proverbs, so it's unusual to have several verses in a row. For the same thing, it's usually hammering around. Bang, 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 bang. All right. So 13 says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. That's what we're doing on these shows, folks. We're looking for wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
And you're happy because you're doing that with us. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. Mm-hmm. So this is better than money. Mm-hmm. That you can buy anything. And it's better than fine gold, which is a store for your wealth. Okay, it's better than all that. She is more precious than rubies, which decorate you. okay? And it shows your great wealth, more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. So there's no comparison with the riches of the world in any form, in any aspect, to wisdom, okay? I'd rather have wisdom than all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an old song, too. I'd rather have Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she is more precious. So 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Yeah. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So here we are again. The wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom is the word of God. Wisdom is the tree of life. So we're seeing all these metaphors tying together again. Mm-hmm. With that sword, that flaming sword is the word of God. It's wisdom, okay? And you're happy to retain wisdom, because it's going to keep you from doing crazy things. Right. Now, imagine when these people, they actually do get the Hadron Collider and they get their God particle and they crack it open and they open into eternity. You know what they're going to see? They're going to see all the torment of hell, the abyss. They're cracking the abyss open. We actually see that in Revelation. The abyss is open. And all this horde of locusts comes out, okay? You think that just happened? No, they're trying to crack it open now. Here's the problem. It's the fallen angels who are trying to crack it open because it's their kids in there, mm-hmm. and they want to get them out. The problem is this. In Jubilees chapter 10, I believe it is, it talks about there was only 10% of them were left on the earth. 90% of the Nephilim spirits, aka demons, are in the abyss right now. So we got the lightweights out. We only got the 10% of the lightweights that are on the earth. So if you think the demons are bad now, wait till the other 90% come out, because they're cracking open CERN. They think they're going to get into eternity. The problem is when they get in there, if you're there going with them, now that the mark of the beast, it says you can't be saved. That's why. Mm-hmm. Because you cracked that door into eternity in your sinful state, and then you changed your DNA with this mark of the beast, you're not human anymore. You're not redeemable, and you cracked open the door to eternity. Mm-hmm. All right. I would suggest that you wait for Jesus to come back and do that and just rest in him and his contract, because his contract says you can come with him. That's a better plan. What do you think, J.D.?
Well, I'm going with him, period. When the rapture happens, well, okay, one way or the other, I'm going with him in the rapture. If I die,
then we get up first.
He's going to raise me up and go. And, you know, if I'm still alive, he's just going to take me. So, you know, I'm good either way. But, I wanted to point out something, though. I read this recently, and I wish I'd have kept a copy of it. There's mounds or something that are like sinkholes that are developing in certain parts of the world, and they can't explain it. Now, is that the is that them opening this abyss? Or are we getting closer to that, or does this have nothing to do with
the whole earth? It's all, the Bible clearly lays it out. He said the mountains will flee away, you know, into the sea, and they'll become flat, and then, you know, the abyss will open. I mean, it's the whole thing. It already happened with the flood, you know, when God spoke and he cracked the earth, and you see the ring of fire around the earth, he cracked it like an egg in a microwave.
Right.
And that's why that's all coming out, and that's why all the water shot up. The fountains of the deep broke, shot up into the atmosphere, melted the canopy, and that's where we got rain. That's why it rained for 40 days. Right. Okay, and that's why there was so much water, and now it started to sink back down, and then, but that's going to happen again. It's that crack is going to be a problem, but that's what Jesus comes back, and when he lands
on the mountain,
the mountain Zion, it's going to crack in two, because that'll be the final one. But then all through the millennium, when he rules on the earth for 1,000 years, that's when the healing comes. He says it's the healing of the nations. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to heal. The earth is going to heal. It's going to go back to the way it was. Mm-hmm. And the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Okay. And the lion will eat grass like an ox. And the kids will play with snakes. And the people will live right through the millennium. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a young man is someone that dies at 100 because he's a sinner. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, what happened to him? He's only 100. So it's going to be even better than it was before the flood. All right. And then he's going to rule and reign and heal the earth for that Sabbath day, that 7,000th year from 6 to 7,000. It's the final 1,000 years, which is the final day. The seventh millennium. Yeah. Because that is the rest day. Mm-hmm. One day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. That's the rest day for the earth. At the end of that day, then he can adjudicate and say, okay, now I've showed you how to rule properly on the earth. So now he can make a judgment against all the previous rulers and say, this is what it was supposed to look like. Okay, this is right. This is wrong. Now you can go to hell, which is what we just read in Enoch.
Right.
You don't touch the tree until the judgment came down and he judges everything. So now we're starting to get a better picture. Now you see why we read these other books.
Right.
Because the Bible is canon. It's 100% perfect and correct, but it's cliff notes. Even John said, if we wrote everything down that Jesus did, you would literally couldn't fit it on the earth. That's how much.
Yeah.
And he says, you have no place to put everything that he did. This is essential for salvation is a Bible. But if you want more understanding, there's other books that explain these things. Okay. Now, you just have to be careful with them to know and read it properly. When they start getting weird, if you say things like, Eve had a sister, then it's like, okay, that's obviously not an inspired book.
Yeah. No, that is a comic book. Yeah.
That's a comic book. Yeah. Okay. So wisdom is the tree of life. Okay. The flaming sword is the word. And it's all designed to protect you from entering into the eternal state in your sinful state.
Okay. Well, okay. Now, this I'm just reading this off the screen, and it just caught my attention. It said that in the early Christian tradition often linked the tree of life to the cross of Christ, suggesting that his sacrifice restored access to divine life.
Yeah, so not exactly that makes any sense, but let's rehash that again.
Okay.
All right. So there's the tree of life. It's eternal. He's the sustenance of everything. It's eternal life, this tree, and it's next to God. And he says, no matter what happens, there's always food for us, for eternity. All right. Now, we sinned, so he has to block the tree of life, which is him and his sustenance, until Jesus can come back. So Jesus coming back and dying on the cross fulfill the contract terms, so now we can go back to the tree of life again. So they're kind of conflating the two, but one results in the other, but it's not really, they're not really the same.
Okay.
The tree of life is not him on the cross. Him on the cross pays for the sins that allows us to get back to the tree of life. And so let's get into Revelation, because we're down to 10 minutes here. All right, so we're reading in chapter 2. Which church is this? Let me see. There's Thyatira. Let me see here. On to Ephesus. Okay. Ephesus. And he talks about Ephesus, and you do the deeds of the Nicolaitans. That's a whole other story. But in verse 7, Revelation 2:7, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Mm-hmm. So do you have an ear, J.D.?
I do. I try to listen carefully, yeah.
All right, well, that means you have been commissioned to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, because you have an ear. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen.
So it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Still there.
Okay. That's what you asked. Is it still
yes,
there?
It
it's in the tree of life. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is there. Now we're going to jump all the way to 22. And 22 says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. So this is after the millennium.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he starts everything all over again. So even in the millennium, we don't really have the tree of life yet, because remember, he hasn't adjudicated yet. Mm-hmm. Because the adjudication comes after Jesus proves that he rules and reigns in righteousness for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then let's see. Now we're talking about there's the New Jerusalem comes down. It mm-hmm. don't need the sun because it's light everywhere. There's no shadows. Mm-hmm. The gates are open all by day. It brings glory and honor. And there's nothing that defiles it anywhere in 27. And then he continues talking about it in chapter 22. He showed me a pure river of water of life. All right. So now we also see that as a metaphor for Jesus. You know, he's the water of life, and the living water is the
living
word.
Water, yeah.
He's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's clear as crystal. So there's no impurities in this water, and mm-hmm. it's coming out of the throne of God and the Lamb.
Mm.
So now this is his words coming out
mm-hmm.
in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's in the middle and on both sides of the river.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the middle of the street and on both sides of the river. It literally means it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the Nazarene, right? Remember, he says the Nazarene, and that means the root of
okay.
David.
Okay.
There are trees that will go down and pop up over here.
Right.
Bamboo does that. There's
yeah.
trees that
I
do that.
I see it happen.
And it'll
in my
start
backyard.
To grow all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And there's groves that are literally the whole grove is one tree,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I see here. It's on either side of the river. People are, how could it be on this side and that side? Well, it's the same tree. The roots go down
mm-hmm.
and they go all over because, you know, can you imagine everybody at the one tree get kind of crowded?
So right.
It's the one tree, but it's spread out all over the
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm.
And it bears 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Mm.
We talked about that. Noah had the book of healing and
mm-hmm.
he talked about the herbs.
Yeah.
So here's a tree of life, and it got healing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 12 different kinds of fruits. But this was the one question I started out the show with that I wanted to share or ask. I got a book of these questions. This one, I'm like, when I get to heaven, okay, hold on. Oh, yeah, the tree of life here. I get the eternity thing and the sword. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 12 different kinds of fruits. I want to know, what are those fruits, and do I have a choice? Can I vote on the fruits? And is it 12 fruits every month? Or since it's 12 months, is it one different fruit every month? Like this month is mangoes. Next month is papaya.
Yeah, but what if it's 12 types of fruit at the same time, but they change every month?
Well, yeah, that's the question. Is it constantly blooming?
No, I mean, you got apples and oranges on the same tree is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can graft them in. You can make that work, actually.
Yeah.
And that's actually when
reason.
He talks about, you know, we are the vine and he is the branch.
Yeah.
We
that's
are the branches
reason
and he is the
that we've got it on our question list. Right?
Yes, it's on the – we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it – because you can actually graft in – people say, oh, look, we're all grafted in to one, but doesn't mean we're the same. Because
mm-hmm.
the olive branch, you can graft two of them into the vine, but the wild olive branch will still produce wild olives, and the cultivated olive branch will still produce cultivated olives, even though they're both growing out of the
yeah.
same vine. So we can both,
yeah.
Israel and the church can both be rooted in Jesus and still produce what they were created to
Amen.
Produce independently.
Amen. Yes.
And that's what people don't get it. Oh, whoa, we're all grafted into one vine. Yes. Have you seen the tree? They actually sell a tree where they graft. They literally have 12 different fruits growing on the same tree. There's apples and pears and all these different
mm-hmm.
things. Because you just graft them in. So that's, he knew that. God's pretty smart.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And he says, there'll be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb there shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Okay? Like the Antichrist wants to put a name on your forehead. This is why, because that's what God does. All right? And that means your will. Your forehead is your will. This is everyone can see, and it's and you're thinking. That's why they tried to do the frontal lobotomies before. There shall be no night there, and you need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Amen. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had seen and heard, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then the angel said to me, don't do that, for I am thy fellow servant, the brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. That's a study in itself. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So the time is at hand, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. That actually literally means be even more. Let it, who is righteous, let them be even more righteous.
Yeah.
Let them be more holy. Yeah.
Never stop. Stop growing.
Right. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. Okay? So you can't just say the Holy Grail, take your, I said the sinner's prayer when I was 14, and there you go, I did. No. According to your work, okay? I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, okay? This is Jesus saying he is the creator, all right? The first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Pay attention to that, folks, okay? Because you can say, oh, I'm saved because I did this, I did that. Are you doing his commandments?
Yeah. What have you done lately?
Okay, what's his commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does that look like? Well, the whole New Testament tells you what that looks like.
Amen.
Okay? So, JD, invite people to come and take of the tree of life with us.
Absolutely. Well, we do invite you. That's what the show is all about. We are trying to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before the rapture of the church. And there's no reason for you to have to go through the tribulation that is just about here. You look around and you look at the news, and there's nothing good happening. And I'm telling you, it's going to get worse and worse. Take my word on that. You don't have to trust me. You're going to live it. Okay, it's going to get worse and worse, and you can avoid the worst of it by simply asking the Lord, saying, look, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, Lord. I promise to follow your son. I know Jesus is your son. I know he died for me. I know he rose on the third day. I know you're coming back. He's going to grab the Christians and get them off the earth, and then it comes, and I want no part of that, and I put my faith in you. And if you'll ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, in your own words, you will be saved, and you're not going to have to worry about it. And you'll be able to eat from the tree of life. We'll see you next time on The Last Christian.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events, tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.